If you take your Bibles and keep them open at Ephesians chapter 4, and as you're getting there, or you may already still be there, we've been going through the book of Ephesians together, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, and today I'd like to begin with a story, all right? And this is about a painting in Europe. It's found in a museum, and this painting is entitled Checkmate. It depicts an individual, a young man, playing against the devil. He's playing chess, and it looks like the devil has him in checkmate. You can see the grin on the devil's face, and you can see the hope, the lack of hope, the despair, the pain on the young man's face. And one day, as they were giving tours through this museum, a world champion chess player was in the group. And as they went to the gallery that this painting was in, he saw this. He saw this checkmate, and as everybody looked at the picture and was moving along, he stopped, all right? He stopped, and he was carefully examining this painting, and everybody moved on, and they were ready to go to the next gallery, and finally, the tour guide came back, and he asked the guy, is everything okay? And the guy said, well, no. He said, this painting is all wrong. And it took the tour guide by surprise. What do you mean it's all wrong? He says, the title is wrong. It shouldn't say checkmate. And the tour guide said, what do you mean? He said, well, I'm a real champion chess player. And I looked at all the pieces. And you know what? This young man has one move, and that move is to go to the king and use the king, because through the king he will get victory. Wow. Wow. Hey, today, some of you may be tired. Some of you may be afraid. Some of you may feel alone. Some of you may feel like you will never get victory. Well, I want you to know you still have a move. We're not playing a game of chess today. We're talking about our salvation. We're talking about our destiny, our eternity. And through Jesus Christ, yeah, we can have victory. We can have hope. We don't have to be in despair, all right? We don't have to be discouraged. We can be saved in God's everlasting kingdom. And this is what Paul is writing to the Ephesians all about. He writes and he tells them all their blessings. He tells them of the plan of salvation. And here he's calling them. He's calling to the Ephesians to walk worthy in the name of Jesus Christ. Here we are in Ephesians 4, beginning with verse 1. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord. Paul is writing this. He's in prison. He is writing from a Roman prison. He says, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling for which you were called. Wow. All right. Yeah. And he's saying, hey, you're no longer going to walk according to the world. Walk according to the desires of your flesh. He says, now that you have accepted Christ, now that you are saved by his grace, yeah, your life is going to be different. It's going to be changed. He says, when you accepted Christ, the Holy Spirit, yeah, the Holy Spirit allowed you to know your need of Christ. It led you to Christ. And through And through Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit is poured out. It says, with all lowliness and gentleness. Gentleness, and he makes a list. Gentleness, long-suffering, bearing one another in love. Oh, there's love. And in the next verse, yeah, there's the bond of peace. Yeah, all these are the fruit of the Spirit. And he's saying, hey, you should have the Holy Spirit evident in your life. Yeah, he's saying that when you walk with Christ, your life is no longer going to be the same. The Holy Spirit is going to gradually change you and transform you. And our role is to say, yes, Lord. I want to be changed. I want to be the man. I want to be the woman. I want to be the person you have called me to be. As we take a look at the fruit of the Spirit, it is the character of Jesus Christ. God wants to reproduce in us, his character. He wants us to show that we are his children. And this is what the world is longing for. The world is longing for the character of Christ to be reproduced in his people, and that they will see and know, hey, there is something much better in this world than the things of this world. And people will look to God above, and they will want the same kind of character. You know, Jesus said many things about the Holy Spirit. And today, I just want to take a look at one of the things he said about the Holy Spirit. It's found in Matthew chapter 25. So hold your hands there in Ephesians 4. I just want to go to Matthew chapter 25. And here in Matthew chapter 25, Jesus tells three parables. The first parable is the parable of the 10 virgins. All right? Yeah. Five were wise, five were foolish. Yeah, they were all virgins, so they all looked alike. They all dressed alike. They all went to church together, all sang the same hymns. All paid their tithe and offerings. They knelt down in prayer. They listened to the same sermon. All right? But five were wise and five were foolish. The wise ones had oil. That's what made them wise. Okay? Now, how did they receive that oil? How do we receive the Holy Spirit? Hey, we have to ask for it, right? Yeah. Hey, here were five people who took time. Yeah, and they had morning devotions, all right? They sat at the feet of Jesus. They recognized their need and dependence upon the Spirit. They pleaded for the Holy Spirit. Yeah, and they received the Holy Spirit from God. They had oil. The five foolish didn't have the oil. The five foolish just went through the motions. They just wanted to look good. All right? And the interesting thing is at the end of this parable that I want to point out to you. All right? You with me? Matthew chapter 25. And I'm going to take a look down in verse 11. All right? And afterward, the other virgins came also saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. All right? And he answered and said, assuredly I say to you, I do not know you. How sad. How sad. I do not know you. In other words, they didn't spend time with God. They didn't sit at his feet. They didn't talk to God. They didn't pray to God. They didn't study his word. I don't know you. Saddest words in the Bible. Oh, yeah. Hey, in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus says there are going to be people who say, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we do signs and miracles? Didn't we cast out demons in your name? And Jesus will say, depart from me. I never knew you. Wow. Wow. Jesus is trying to send us a message. He wants to know us. All right? Yeah. Take time to know God. If you want the Holy Spirit active in your life, it begins right here, sitting at the feet of Jesus each and every day. I can't make you do this. You have to do it for yourself. You have to make an effort. You have to spend time reading and praying over God's word, praying God's word into your life. There's no other way. And this is what Paul is pleading with the church at Ephesus with. And I'm sure today, if Paul were here, he would say the same thing to you and me. Get to know God. Spend time with him. Not just on Sabbath, but every day. Every morning, begin your day. You know, I have tried to have devotions at different times, all right? Yeah, I tried to say, you know, I'm too tired in the morning. Well, I'm too busy in the afternoon, and at evening, I'm too busy. And the best time I find is in the morning when the noise of the house are quiet, all right? And there's not many things that can interrupt you. That's when I find my best time to be with God. You have to find what that best time will be for you. Jesus is calling us to get to know him. Now I'm back in chapter 4, Ephesians chapter 4. We saw that the Holy Spirit gives us, yeah, it gives us the fruit of the Spirit, a character like Jesus, but there's something else that he also gives us. He gives us gifts. We call them spiritual gifts. Yeah, and these gifts help us to minister like Jesus. God not only wants to have us experiencing his character within our own lives, he wants us to minister like he ministered when he was here on earth. Now take a look at this. Take a look at our scripture reading. It says, and he himself gave. Oh, God is a giver. For God so loved the world, he gave. Yeah, he gave. He gave us his son, Jesus Christ. He gave us the greatest gift he could give us in heaven, but he didn't stop there. He gave us the Holy Spirit. He poured out the Holy Spirit upon us, and he gave himself to some to be apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. And why did he only use these gifts here? You know, we know that in Corinthians there's another list, and in Romans there's another list. And all spiritual gifts are important. He's writing to the church in Ephesus, and probably he's writing about what they need. And that's why he focuses on these spiritual gifts. But all the gifts are important. And all of us, he's not just writing to the ministers. He's not just writing to church leaders. He's writing to every member of the church. And he's saying to every one of us, we can not only have the character of Christ, we can minister like Christ. God has given you a gift. All right? And we receive this gift. And what could this gift be? Well, we're all different. And God will give us a gift, yeah, for something that we like to do. All right? Yeah. Yeah. For some people, it may be the gift of hospitality. They like opening up their home and inviting people over. Yeah. For some people, like myself, I'm a minister. All right? Yeah, we all have different spiritual gifts. Yeah, and God will empower us to minister like Him. And I hope that you will take time to discover your spiritual gift and to use your spiritual gift. God has given us blessings. Yeah, He has chosen us. He has adopted us. Yeah, we saw all of this in Ephesians chapter 1. He accepted us. He redeemed us. He forgives us. He has sealed us through the Holy Spirit. Yeah, and now we see that He has given us the fruit of the Spirit, and that He gives us spiritual gifts to minister like He ministered here on earth. In verse 12, it says why He has given us these gifts. It says, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. He gives it for two reasons. One, to equip us. And this isn't the only thing that He has given to equip us. If you turn with me to the book of Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 3. All right? This time we're going to go to the right instead of to the left. All right? 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verses 16 and 17. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God, that the man or woman of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Yeah, this is the importance of studying the Word of God. As we study the Word of God, the Holy Spirit can come into our hearts and prepare us, to train us, to equip us to minister like Jesus did when He was here on earth. The reading of the Word of God and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit go together for every believer in Jesus. Andy Cole, he was a punter for the Pittsburgh Steelers, all right? He's now retired, and he has these camps, all right? In the early 2000s, he was a punter, and he has these camps, and these different camps, he teaches young kids how to become punters for the future, all right, to become punters and kickers. And this year, there are over 800 kids who have been through his camps that are either in college as kickers or are in the NFL as a professional kicker, all right? Now, the reason why I say that is because he has had an impact on kids. Yeah, can you imagine, yeah, a person filled with the Holy Spirit, a person who has the fruit of the Spirit, a person who has spiritual gifts, what God can do through them, what God can do through you, all right? Yeah, God is the equipper. And God can and will do great things through each one of us. All right? Yeah, this is what Paul is trying to say. He's trying to build up this church. And that's the second thing he says here. He talks about edifying the church. Now, I find it interesting that here in verse 29, all right, I'm back in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Yeah, we're going to get to take a look at this in the future. It says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification. Oh, and hey, that's a good word of advice for all of us. Yeah, be careful with the words we say. Yeah, it says that edification is necessary. Necessary edification. We should be desiring in our hearts, it should be burning in our hearts to edify one another. Yeah, so many times we say things that are hurtful, that tear people down, things that are judgmental, things that are critical. But Paul says, all right, that our words should edify one another. Oh, may that be the spirit that is in our hearts. Yeah, may we edify each other, whether in the church or in our families or in our community. Hey, yeah, our words should be words of edification. All right? Yeah. Yeah, I read a story about Florence Nightingale. Yeah. Florence Nightingale, there was a soldier who was severely wounded, and her heart went out to him, and she went in one day and fed him his food and took a cloth and wiped his brow and had a word of prayer with him. And as she was leaving the room, the soldier said, "Thank you, Florence. You were like Christ to me." Wow. That's the way we should be to anyone and everyone we come in contact with. And this is what Paul is trying to say. And he's trying to say you can't do it by yourselves. You need the grace of God. You need the Holy Spirit. Yeah, it's one thing to have knowledge of the Word of God, but you need the power of the Spirit to make it alive in your life. And he's pleading with them to get to know God. Yeah. Well, here in Ephesians 4, in verse 13, it says, "Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." This should be the desire of our hearts, to be like Christ in all that we think, in all that we say, in all that we do. This is why we should long for the Holy Spirit. When Christ is in us, yeah, he gives us his character. He clothes us with his righteousness. Yeah, he clothes us with his perfection. And when God looks at us, this is what he sees. He sees the character of his Son. May this be the desire of our hearts, to be perfect in Jesus Christ. I read a story this week by a guy written, it was by Ty Tomasky. And it comes from the book Running with a Limp. And down in Monterey Bay, just south of us, south of the San Francisco, down in Monterey Bay, one year, the fishing boats were off the coast, and they would catch fish, and they would cut up the fish, and they would feed the seagulls, all right, with the things that, you know, you don't buy, with the things that weren't considered food, all right, and the seagulls would just fly around where the fishermen were, and they would just throw them all the remnants, all right, of the fish. Well, eventually, after a couple months, the fishermen went further south. And there were seagulls. Some seagulls followed the fishermen, but the majority of them stayed. Yeah, the fishermen, And the seagulls that stayed wanted to be fed. Yeah, they were fed by the fishermen for a couple months, and they no longer wanted to do any fishing for themselves. Can you believe that? Some of them got very weak, got sick, died because they wouldn't eat. And so a person went down south, got some seagulls, all right? Yeah, and brought them back, and they let these seagulls loose, and they could see these seagulls flying in the air and diving into the water and going after fish and feeding themselves. And they had to learn how to do that all over again. And they learned it by watching other seagulls. And what am I trying to say here through this illustration? I'm trying to say is we need not to be dependent upon others when it comes to our spiritual life. We need to become dependent upon God. We need to be sitting at His feet every day. We need to be pleading for the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit will become alive in our lives and we will have the fruit of the Spirit and that we will be able to minister like the Spirit. May God give us that desire and not let us rest until we do have that desire to be with Him each and every day. So when He comes again, He will never have to say, "I never knew you." Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, and that through Him we can be forgiven. Through Him we can be cleansed. Through Him we can be saved. Through Him we can live a brand new life. And not according to this world, but one that follows your Holy Spirit, one that transforms our lives, that helps us to be like Jesus in our own lives, and one that ministers like Jesus. Lord, we can't do this ourselves. We need your help. Please pour out your Spirit upon us. And thank you, Lord, for already hearing and answering our prayer, because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.